This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Good evening, everyone. Bruch Maboim. Welcome to Daf HaShavua, Masechta Yevamos, for the real stalwarts who are still hanging on as we come to the final stretch, the home stretch of Maseches Yevamos. We are now contrasting the difference between a katan and a cheresh, a ketana and a chareshes. We know both of their marriages are midrabanan. And yet, the rabbanan were never misaking nesuin for a katan, they were for a cheresh. And the Gemara said, well, a cheresh will never come to nesuin otherwise, so the chachamim were misaking. A katan that will come to nesuin, the chachamim were not misaking. Why were they then misaking for a katana? Because a katana, you have the issue, we don't want people to abuse her, we don't want them to deal with her kaminag hefker. So now the Gemara asks on the bottom line, on kofi beizu, mit beizu maishna katana dimema ena samaishna chareshes delay memana. What is special about a katana that she does miyun and a chareshes cannot do miyun? Says Gemara, dim kain memani vloy nos bila. If a chareshes would be able to do miyun, who's going to marry her? I mean, you have to be on your best behavior always, because she always has the problem. She's not getting better. So who's going to want to marry a deaf-mute woman who has a permanent mum and always retains the right to abolish the marriage? But by a katana, we say, you know, let the katana do miyun. People will still marry her because they know they'll behave until she grows up. And after that, she won't be able to be mamayin anymore. Now the Gemara asks the following question. We know that a ketana, who could be married to her midrabanan, is allowed to eat truma if she marries a bas kayin. Now she could only eat truma midrabanan, but she could eat truma midrabanan. And a chareshes, who they were misaking marriage for, cannot eat even truma midrabanan. Ask the Gemara, oh, Maishna Ketana de Achla Betruma, Maishna Chareshes de Achla Betruma. Why is it that a Ketana can eat Truma Midrabanan and a Chareshes cannot eat Truma Midrabanan? The Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Heyid Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada testified, Ala Chareshes, about a deaf mute. She Sia Avia, that her father married her off, it's a marriage Midaraisa. She yoitza beget, she goes out with the get. But he didn't say a word about her eating truma. V'al ketana bas Yisrael, shenisis l'kayna in a ketana. The daughter of an Israelite that marries a kohen, she oicheles b'truma, that she could eat truma. A ketana bas Yisrael, shenisis l'kayna, a ketana bas Yisrael that married a kohen, she's allowed to eat truma midrabanan. V'ilu chareshes, and the chareshes that we were talking about from the beginning, lo yachla, cannot eat truma. Why did Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada, while he was on the topic of chareshes, say, you know what, a chareshes could also eat truma? Says the Gemara, you know why we don't allow a chareshes to eat truma? Because if we're going to allow a chareshes who marries a kohen to eat truma, we're afraid Shema Yachel Chereish B'Chareshes. Maybe if a Chareshes marries a Chereish who is a Kohen, then she will come to eat Truma Midairaisa in that case, if we allow a Chareshes who marries a kohen to eat truma, you might come to allow a cheresh who marries a chareshes to eat truma. So the Gemara says, okay, it's the exact same case. So let a chareshes who marries a cheresh who's a kohen eat truma. V'leichel. Let her eat. At the end of the day, katan oichal nevelasu. She's a minor. We know that a minor that eats nevela, bezin doesn't have to separate them. So what are you telling me, that we don't allow a chareshes who marries a kohen to eat truma midrabanan because a cheresh who marries a chareshes may come to eat truma midaraisa? So let her eat truma midaraisa. Says the Gemara, well, that's a gezera. Shemayachel cheresh v'pikachas. Maybe if a sane woman marries a male who's a cheresh, she will come to eat shuma medaraisa, and she is sane, and she, taka, we cannot allow to eat shuma medaraisa. And the cheresh v'pikachas nami lecha b'tshuma d'rabanan. Okay, I understand. We don't want her to eat shuma midaraisa because she's not married midaraisa to the cheresh. But let her eat shuma d'rabanan. The answer is gezeira dilma asal oichel b'shuma d'raisa. She might come to eat shuma midaraisa. So basically, a chareshes who marries a kohen cannot eat shuma midrabanan. Why not? She should be allowed to. The answer is because a ketana that marries a kohen could eat shuma midrabanan. So why can't a chareshes who marries a kohen eat shuma midrabanan? The answer is if a chareshes who marries a kohen would be able to eat shuma midrabanan, we're afraid a chareshes that marries a cheresh will eat shuma midaraisa. So let her. Well, we're afraid that if we allow that the cheresh who marries a chareshes to eat truma, then a chareshes who marries a pikeach might... I'm sorry, we're afraid a cheresh that marries a pikachas, she will eat truma. Let her eat truma midrabanan. We're afraid she'll come to eat truma midairaisa by a ketana who marries a kohen. We're not afraid that she's going to eat shuma midaraisa, because even if she does, she's a ketana and she's not chayev. So we could allow her to eat the shuma d'rabanan that she's entitled to eat. She's married midrabanan. So when the ketana marries a kohen, she's married midrabanan. We allow her to eat the shuma midrabanan, and we're not afraid she'll eat shuma d'raisa, because even if she does, it's not the end of the world. But it is the end of the world if a chareshes eats truma when she's married to a kohen, because that's confusing with a cheresh nasa chareshes, and that's confusing with a cheresh shen nasa pikachas. And there, we can't allow her to eat truma drabanan, because she might come to eat truma daraisa, and she's a pikachas, and that would taka be a problem if a pikachas eats truma. Because once she becomes a gedola, she can eat shuma d'raisa because her marriage is d'raisa. I mean, we should be concerned. Like the Gemara had a shaila before, do you have to live with her or not? So according to the Tzad, that you would have to live with her, we should be concerned she'll end up eating shuma d'raisa before her marriage is consummated. Rabasi, we were mechaving to Toisus. You ready? Second Toisus asks Rabasi's question. Why don't we say Avol Mishum Shema Yachel Katan Begedoyla? Why aren't we Geyser? Maybe. Toisus asking a little differently. Maybe a katan will feed. Let's say a gedoyla marries a katan. In that case, she cannot eat truma d'raisa. So why don't we say a ketana should not eat truma, because she might. Maybe a katan will be machal a gedoyla truma. So Tosfos says we're not goyzer because once he grows up and does bia, the kedushin will be d'raisa. The next Tosfos says, by ketana, where she only eats shuma d'rabanan, there is no possible. Again, you asked that why aren't we goyzer by katana that she'll come to Ichuma Daraisa. So I said, well, there's no problem because she's a katana, she's not chayv. So I said, well, maybe she'll come to Ichuma Daraisa when she gets older. But I thought when she gets older, the marriage automatically becomes Daraisa and she's allowed to Ichuma Daraisa. Is that correct? Let's say yes. I mean, the Gemara had a Shaila before. Do you need to... Does the marriage automatically morph into a Daraisa, or it's... or not? Okay, the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Umayishna ketana d'islay ksuba, umayishna charesh eslasay ksuba. What is special about a katana that a katana has a ksuba and a chareshes does not have a ksuba? Says the Gemara, because if you had to give a ksuba to a chareshes, nobody's going to marry her. It's bad enough she can't hear. Now I have to pay her. Dimkein mimni v'lay nazila. People are going to refrain and not marry her. But a katana has a ksuba because there's no reason people are not going to marry her. Why should they not marry her? Because she's a katana, she'll grow out of it. What?
The man is going to get rid of her very easily. When she gets upset one day, he's going to kick her out of the house.
I mean, the whole reason for Ksuba is we don't want to make it easy for him to divorce her, so now you're making it very easy for him to divorce her. Yeah, that's what you're asking?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, very good. So Rav Michael is mechavin to the next Taisus. Taisus, look in the third Taisus. Taisus says, "V'im yishum shloite kala be'inav lahitzia." Like Rav Michael is asking, that why is the Gemara only concerned that if a chareshes gets a ksuba, people are not going to want to marry her? Why aren't we concerned that if she doesn't get a ksuba, it's going to be easy to divorce her? The answer is lo chashu chachamim lekach. The rabbis were not concerned about that. What does Tosfos mean? The rabbis are not concerned about that. Why are the rabbis not concerned about that? Apparently, they had to weigh these two factors, and the concern that people are not going to want to marry her far outweighs the issue that once they do, they might want to divorce her. We got to get her married, you know, and we'll deal with the repercussions. But it seems, I think what Tosfos is saying is that the concern that people are not going to marry her far outweighs the other concern. Okay. Weiter, says Gemara. Uketana minon d'esleksuba. How do I know a ketana has a ksuba? The time we learned in the Mishnah. Hamima enes, a woman who refuses her marriage as a ketana, v'hashniya, or a woman who is an Isser Erva Madrabban of Islandis, a woman who doesn't have signs of feminine maturity, Einlahen Ksuba, don't have a Ksuba. Avil Yoitza Beged, but if a woman is divorced, Uketana, and a woman who doesn't refuse her marriage and is a minor, Yeshlaha Ksuba. The inference is she does have a Ksuba. So from here we see a Ketana has a Ksuba. How do I know a chareshes does not have a ksuba? The chareshes, minon de lesle ksuba. How do I know a chareshes does not have a ksuba? The Tanya we learned in a braisa. Chereish v'shoita, a deaf mute and a fool, shenasu pikchais, that married sane women. Af al pi shenisbakach hachereish, even though the chereish became sane, v'nishtafa shait, and the fool became normal, Ein lahem aleim klum. They're not responsible for a ksuba. So the Chayrish and the Shaita, they married a pikachas, and then they became normal. There's no chiv ksuba. Ratzu lakaima, but if they want to stay married to them, and so their next act of bia will acquire them, yesh lahem ksuba. They have a ksuba. U pikeach. Shenosa chareshes oishoita. A pikeach, a sane man that married a deaf mute or a fool, afilu kasav la me'amana, even if he wrote to her 100 mana, which is an exorbitant sum, ksubasa kam ksuba stands. So if a sane man wrote a ridiculously large ksuba for a woman who's a chareshes, it's valid. Why? B'nei sharatza lozuk b'nechasav. He obviously doesn't mind taking a loss to his property. But let's make an inference. Taima deratza. The reason he gives the ksuba is because he wants to pay. Halai ratza, if he wouldn't want to pay, there would be no ksuba. Ein la. Why? De'imkein mimni v'loi nezvila. Because if you would have to give a charesha ksuba, nobody's going to want to marry her. Aye, says the Gemara, if so, then when a deaf man marries a sane woman, there should be a ksuba there. Otherwise, no woman's going to want to marry the deaf guy. If the reason why there's no ksuba when you marry a deaf woman is because otherwise no one's going to marry her, there should be a ksuba to a sane woman who marries a deaf guy. He should have to give her a ksuba, otherwise no one's going to want to marry him. I would have said, that's his problem. If he wants, let her pay, let him pay her. But why do we have to enact something that he could, that's biyadai, to take care of? I understand that we can't enact to write a ksuba for a chareshes, because no one's going to want to marry her if we obligate the man to pay her. But now what? We should obligate the man to pay her so that people want to marry him? If he wants people to marry him, so let him give away his, let him pay, say, lady, I need a wife, here's $1 million, you want to marry me? Why do we have to take care of him? If he wants to get married, he'll take care of him. I mean, because the thing is, he doesn't want to get married, but we want him to get married. So we should be misakein for his benefit. Anyway, the answer says, well, we don't really care about men, because women want to get married more than men do. A woman will very happily marry an ugly guy. A man has a problem if the woman has any imperfection. A woman doesn't care as much about the quality of the guy as much as the man is fine. He says, I'm very good. I'll sit home. I'll kick back. I'll follow my favorite football team. I'll throw my socks on the floor. And I'm perfectly happy all by myself. The woman says, I'd rather marry a monster than be by myself. That's what the Gemara always calls Tav Lemesan Tavdu. Tav Lemesav Tandu Min Lemesav Armalo. Better to be with a couple than to be by myself. We don't say that about a guy. A guy doesn't have the same need. Says the Gemara, Hahu. Gemara says, Yoiser Misha Ish Roitzel Isha. More than a man wants to marry a woman, Isha Roitzel Inase. A woman wants to get married. Why the Gemara did not say Tav Lemesav Tandu Milamesav Armulu? I don't know. That's an interesting question. Next case, Ahu Cherish Abishvusa de Rav Malkio. There was a deaf guy in the neighborhood of Rav Malkio. Anazve Itza. Rav Malkio married him off to a woman. Vikasavla. Basically, he was deaf and nobody wanted to marry him. So the Rabbanon stepped in and basically made like a ksuba. V'kasavla, and they wrote to her, Arba Me'a Zuzi, 400 Zuz, Minechseh. Amar Rava Rava said, Man Chochim, K'Rav Malkio, Adigav Rabba, who's smart like Rav Malkio, who's a great man. What's the reason behind this? The reason is, what's the logic of this? I thought we don't enact a ksuba for a deaf guy because the woman wants to marry him. So apparently, but if the woman doesn't want to marry him, we could step in and offer it. And it's based on the following mechanism. Just like if the guy was deaf and he needed household help, we could sell some of his possessions to raise funds to get him a cleaning lady. So by the same token, the Bezdin has the capacity to sell some of his funds to be able to help him get married. Says the Gemara, Kasavar, Rav Malkiyoy held, Ilu Ratza Shivcha L'Shamshay, if he wanted a maidservant to serve him, Miloy Zamninale, would we not sell his possessions to facilitate this? Kol Shekein Hacha, Deika Tarti, certainly here, where there are two benefits, namely, somebody to serve him and someone to marry him. Next case, Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Amar Shmuel, Ish Eishas Cheresh Ein Chayavin Olea Asham Talai. The wife of a deaf mute. So is somebody married to a deaf mute? No, he can't make a Kedushin Dairaisa. So now the Gemara has the following Shaila. Are we definitively certain that he's not a Bardas and he cannot make a Kedushin Midaraisa at all? Or is it like endowed to us? If it was a suffix, if someone were to live with her, b'shoigeg, then you would bring an asham taloi. But if we definitively know that she's not a bardas, then if somebody would live with her b'shoigeg, then you would not bring an asham taloi. An asham taloi is when you might accidentally have done an avera that's a suffix. So the Gemara says, Amr Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Amr Shmuel. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi said the name of Shmuel. Eishas Cheresh, the wife of a deaf mute, Ein Chayavin Aleha Asham Taloi. You are not obligated to bring an Asham Taloi, because that sounds like we say definitively she's not a Bendas. Says Gemara, Lema Masaye Le, shall we bring the following proof? The Mishnah says in the beginning of Chumas, for those who are learning Mishnah Yoimis, we just had this in the beginning of Chumas, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, Chamisha lo yitroim. Well, there are five people who cannot take of Chuma, Vim Tarmo and Chumas and Chuma, and if they did take of Chuma, the Chuma is not good. Ve'elohen Cheresh, a deaf mute, Shoita, a fool, V'katan, and a minor, V'hatorim Hashem Hashalai, someone who takes of Chuma something that doesn't belong to him, V'oived Kechavim, and a Gentile, Shetaram Shal Yisrael, who took of Chuma of a Jews, Afilu B'Shus Yisrael, even with the permission. In all these cases, Ein Chuma Say Chuma. The Chuma is not a Chuma. So, one of the cases said here is a Cheresh, Ein Chuma Say Chuma, and a Zar is allowed to eat it, and clearly then it's not a Safek. So this proves the Shita of Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Amar Shmuel, that Eishes Cheresh in Chayav Menala Asham Taloi. The same way the Chuma of a Cheresh is meaningless and a Zar could eat it, so too if somebody lives with an Eishes Cheresh, he's not a Bardas at all, and therefore you don't bring an Asham Taloi. Says the Gemara, it's not a, no, maybe not. Maybe Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Amar Shmuel holds like Rabbi Elazar, that it's taka a safek. Maybe Huda Amar Rebbe Lazar, maybe Reb Chiya Bar Ashi Amar Shmuel holds like Rebbe Lazar. The Tanya we learned in Bryce, Reb Yitzchak Omer Mishum Rebbe Lazar, Chumas Cheresh, the Chumas Cheresh Loi Tetzei L'chulin, cannot just go L'chulin, Neshu Safek, because it's a doubt. Maybe Shmuel holds that the Chuma of a Cheresh is in doubt. So whereas if he holds it's in doubt, then you should bring in Asham Taloi. But he says, you don't bring an Asham Taloi. He's feel like Reb Lezer, if he held like Reb Lezer, that it's in doubt. Asham Taloi nami l'chayev. You should be chayev to bring an Asham Taloi. Says, no, you forgot there's another criteria of when you bring an Asham Taloi, and that criteria is, if you just have one item and you're mesupik, whether it's mutter or asr, you don't necessarily bring an Asham Taloi. Only if you have two items and one of them is mutter and one of them is asr. But not if you have one cheresh and you don't know about him if he's a bendas or not. Says Gemara, Be'inan chaticha mishtei chatichos. You need one aser piece of two pieces. Says Gemara, mi boy Rebbe Elazar chaticha mishtei chatichos. But it happens to be Rebbe Elazar holds you don't need one of two pieces to bring an asham talai. But Tani will interpret Rebbe Elazar Omer koi. An animal that's a suffik chay, a suffik behema, chayavim al chelboy asham toloi. You're chayav for its chelav and asham toloi. We know that you're not allowed to eat the fat of a behema, but of a chaya, you're allowed to. So a koi that we don't know if it's a behema or a chaya, you're chayav and asham toloi. So you don't tell me that the reason why Shmuel, don't tell me Shmuel really holds like Rabbi Lezer that the status of a cherish is in doubt, but you don't bring an asham taloi because you need it to be one of the two items need to be aser, because Rabbi Lezer himself holds you don't require that. Even one item that's masupik, you bring an asham taloi. Says Gemara, fine, that's Rabbi Lezer. Shmuel maybe holds like Rabbi Lezer in one situation, namely that the status of a cherish is a suffik. Upalagale bechada, and he argues on him about in the other issue that he holds, in order to bring an Ashram Tala, you need one Aser, one item Aser, one Mutter. So he doesn't agree to Rebbe Lezer regarding that you need one of two Chatichais, but maybe he agrees to Rebbe Lezer that a Chereish's status is a Suffolk. V'ika d'amri, and others learn this teaching in the following fashion. Am Rav Chia Barashi, Amar Shmuel, Rav Chia Barashi, send the name of Shmuel, Eishes Cheresh Chayavin Alea Asham Talei, the wife of a Cheresh, your Chayavin Asham Talei. Meisve, aye, the Mishnah says, Chamisha lo yitroimu, five people cannot take of Chuma, and one of them is a Cheresh, which means that his status is certain that he's not a Bendas. So how could he say you're chayiv in Hashem Talai? Says the Gemara, Savar like Rebbe Elazar. He holds like Rebbe Elazar that in fact that the chuma of a cheresh is a suffik, and it's not yotzei lechulin. And we will hold it over here. Bez Hashem. We're going to try for Thursday evening. Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Thanks everybody for joining. Have an amazing evening. Bracha v'hatzlacha. We'll see you tomorrow. Kol tov. Bye-bye.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.